Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, a New Commentary. Discourse number 26, given in Bombay, India.
First question. On last night you discussed the censorship and suppression of the conscious mind upon the unconscious instincts. But if the unconscious instincts belong to the animal heritage in man's evolution, then is it not good to channelize and regulate them according to the intelligence, discrimination, and art of living which belong to the conscious mind? Man is animal. But not only animal. He is more also. But that more cannot deny the animal. It has to absorb it. Man is more than animal, but the animal cannot be denied. It has to be absorbed creatively. You cannot leave it aside. It is in your very roots. The animal cannot be left. You have to use it creatively. So the first thing to remember is, don't be negative about your animal heritage. Once you start thinking in negative terms, you will become destructive to yourself. Because 99% you are animal. And if you create a division, you are fighting a losing battle. You cannot win. And your fight will do quite the opposite. Because the 19% is, 1% of the mind is conscious. 10% cannot win against the 99. It is going defeated. That's why there is frustration, because every fear his own ill. You can never succeed. Of necessity, you are going to be a failure. Because that 1% cannot fit against the 99%. And 1% really even cannot be higher than the 99%. It is like a flower. It cannot go against the roots. It cannot go against the root. And while you are against to your animal heritage, you are being spiced. You are alive because of it. You will die immediately if your animal dies this moment. Your mind exists as ever. Your animal inheritance is the whole tree. Be negative. That is idle. And if you are divine against you, you can never run any force. You are creating a hell. And the hell is nowhere else. It is a divided personality. And the personality is hell. And hell is nothing geographic. It is a culture. Hell also. A personality holds one unit with no inner being on it. It's a heaven. So the first thing I would like to say is, be native. Don't worry. Don't go with yours. Become. The animal that is there is not something bad. The animal is very much put in you. That is your past, and that is also your future. Because much is hidden in it. Much. develop it, allow it to grow and to go beyond, but don't fight with it. That is one of the basic teachings of Tantra. Other traditions are divisive. They divide you, they create a fight within you. Tantra is not divisive. It doesn't believe in fight. Tantra is absolutely positive. It doesn't believe in saying no. Tantra believes in saying yes. Yes to whole life. And through yes, the transformation happens. And through no, only disturbance. No transformation is possible. Because against whom you are fighting, against yourself, how can you win? And the major part is from the animal. The major part will win. So those who fight, they are creating their own defeats. If you want to be defeated, fight. If you want to win, don't fight. Victory needs knowledge, not fight. Fight is a subtle violence. And this is strange, but this has happened. Those who talk about non-violence to others are very much violent against themselves. There are teachings and traditions which say don't be violent to anyone. But those same teachings are very much violent as far as you are concerned. They teach you be violent with yourself, but don't be violent with others. All types of asceticism, renunciation, negative attitudes, life-denying philosophies, they are based on a violent attitude towards yourself. Be violent with yourself. Tantra is absolutely non-violent. Absolutely non-violent. Because Tantra says if you cannot be non-violent with yourself, you cannot be non-violent with anyone else. That is impossible. A person who is violent to himself will be violent to everyone. In his non-violence also, he will be just hiding his violence. Aggression can be turned to yourself. But that aggressive attitude is destructive. But that doesn't mean that remain the animal you are. The moment you accept your heritage, the moment you accept your past, the future becomes an opening. Thorough acceptance is the opening. Animal is the past, it need not be the future. And there is no need to go against the past, and you cannot go. Use it creatively. So what can be done? To use it creatively. The first thing is to be profoundly aware of it. Those who fight, they are not aware of it because they are afraid. So they push their animal behind. They push their animal into the unconscious. Really, there may not be any unconscious. Because of suppression, unconscious is created. You feel many things within you which you condemn without understanding them. A man who understands condemns nothing. There is no need because he can even use poison as a medicine. Because he knows, so everything can be used creatively. because you don't know. In ignorance, poison is poison. With wisdom, it can become the elixir. The person who is fighting against his sex, anger, greed, the animal, what he will do? He will suppress. Fighting is suppression. He will push anger, sex, greed, hatred, jealousy, everything he will push down somewhere, underground. He will create a false structure above ground. The structure will be false because energies have not been transformed which can make it real. The structure is phony. Underground, the real energies have been repressed, and those real energies will always remain there working, and any moment they can explode. You are sitting just on a volcano, and every moment that volcano is trying to erupt, and your structure will be shaking. Whatsoever you have built in the name of religion, morality, culture, is a phony structure above, just a false facet. Underground, the real man is hiding. So your animal is not very far away. It is just skin deep. Someone insults you, and the gentleman disappears, and the animal comes out. It is just skin deep. The volcano is just near. Any moment, it can be brought out. And when it comes out, your intelligence, your morality, your religion, your so-called above animal things simply disappear. When the real asserts, the false disappears. Only when the real goes again back into the underground, the false comes again. When you are angry, where is your mind? Where is your consciousness? Where is your morality? Where are your woes that you have taken so many times that now I am not going to be angry again? When anger comes, they all simply disappear. When anger has moved again to its cave, underground cave, you start repenting. Those phony fellows have gathered again. They start talking, condemning, and planning for the future. And again in the future, the same will happen. When anger will come, the shadows will disappear. Your consciousness right now is just a shadow. It is not a real thing. It has no substance in it. You can take the vow of brahmacharya, of celibacy. It makes no difference to your sex instinct. It simply goes underground. And when it comes, your vow of brahmacharya and celibacy will prove just made of very dream-like stuff. They cannot face the real thing. So these are the two attitudes. Either you can suppress sex, then you will never go beyond it. Or you can use your sex energy in a creative way, not saying no to it, but giving it a deep E, a deep yes. Not forcing it to the underground, but creating a structure above ground with it. Then you will be a real man. It will be difficult. Obviously, that's why we choose the easier path. It is easier to have a false structure because nothing is needed. Only one thing is needed: to deceive yourself. That's all. If you can deceive yourself, you can create a false structure very easily. Nothing will change really, but you will go on thinking that everything has changed. This is easy, to create an illusion. To create a reality is a difficult task, but it is worth. Because once you have created something with real energies, your structure cannot be shattered. If sex is above ground, and you have created something out of it, for example, love. For example, take love. If sex is transformed, it becomes love. If it is suppressed, it becomes hatred. Because you become afraid of love. A person who has suppressed sex will be always afraid of love. Because the moment love comes, sex will follow. Because love is the soul and sex is the body, and love cannot happen, the sex will follow. It will be just somewhere near the corner. So a person who has suppressed sex cannot be loving. He may show, he may pretend that he is very loving. He cannot be because he is so afraid. He cannot touch you with a loving hand because the fear is there. The loving hand can any moment turn to be a sexual touch. He will be afraid. He will not allow you to touch him. He may create many justifications for it. But the real thing is fear. Fear of the instinct which he has repressed. And he will be filled with hatred, because any energy repressed goes reverse to its original nature. Sex moves easily towards love. That is a natural flow. If you don't, it create hindrances in its path, it will become hatred. So your so-called saints and so-called moral teachers, if you look deep in them, you will find them filled with hatred. And that's bound to be. It's natural. And sex is hidden there. Any moment it can erupt. They are sitting on a dangerous volcano. If you push down energies, you are just postponing a task. And the more postponed, the more difficult it will be. Tantra says, create your life with real energies. And real energies are all animals. And when I say animal, I have no condemnation in it. The word animal for me is not condemnatory, as it is for you. The animal is beautiful in itself. The animal in itself is nothing to be condemned. The animal within you is pure energy, moving according to natural laws. Your mind can do only one thing, and that has been asked. So what we should do consciously should not be channelized, should not be controlled. No, our consciousness is not to control. Consciousness is not to channelize. Consciousness is to understand. And understanding becomes in itself the transformation. Tantra will say, understand sex. Don't try to channelize it. Because if you don't understand it, every effort is bound to be a failure and harmful. So don't do anything. First understand it. And through understanding, the power path will be revealed. And you are not to force then your energies on that path. Through understanding, you come to know the law, just like in science. What you are doing in science, you understand a law. A natural mystery is revealed. Once the natural mystery is revealed, you can use the energy creatively. Without knowing the inherent law, all of us are doomed. So Tantra says, understand the animal, because in the animal is hidden the potential for your future. Really, it can be said, in the God. Animal is your past, God is your future. But the future is hidden in your past, in seed form. Understand whatsoever your natural forces are. Accept them, understand them. Your mind is not to be their master, and it is not there to control them and fight with them. It is there to understand them. Really, if you understand them, your mind, you are using rightly. Understand sex, understand anger, understand greed. Be alert. Try to find out their ways, how they work. What is their function? And be constantly aware of the very movement of these animal instincts within. If you can be conscious of these animal instincts, there will be no division. You will not have an unconscious mind. If you can move with these instincts deep within, you will have only conscious mind, there will be no unconscious. The unconscious is because of repression. You have closed the major part of your being for consciousness because you have uprooted. You cannot look at your own reality. You are so afraid that you have already moved out of the house. You just live in the veranda. You never go in because the fear is there. If you come face to face with yourself, all your imagination, all your illusions about yourself will fall down. You think yourself to be a saint. You think yourself to be a religious person. You think yourself to be this and that. If you face your reality, all these illusions will evaporate. And everyone has created an image of himself. That image is false. But we cling in. And this clinging becomes the barrier to move within. So the first thing is to accept the animal. It is there. And nothing is wrong about it. It is your past. And you cannot deny your past. You can use it only. If you are wise, you will use it and create a better future out of it. If you are foolish, you will fight with it, and through fight, the future will be destroyed. Fight with his seed, and you will destroy it. Use it, give it soil, help it, protect it. So the seed becomes a tree, a alive tree, and the future blossoms through it. The animal is your seed. Don't fight with it. Tantra has no condemnation for it. Simple love for it, because the whole future is hidden in it. Know it well, and then you can use it, and you can thank it. When I have heard Saint Francis died, he was just on his dying bed. Suddenly he opened his eyes and thanked his body before going to death, before moving to the other world, he thanked his body and he said, much was hidden in you and you helped me so much and I was so ignorant and there were times I even fought with you. I didn't part you in inimical terms. But you were always a friend. And it is because you I could move to such a state of consciousness. This thanksgiving to the body is beautiful. But Saint Francis could understand it only in the end. Tantra says try to understand in the beginning. When you will be dying, even if you thank your body, it is of no use. It is a treasury of hidden forces, of mysterious possibilities. Tantra says in your body is the whole cosmos in miniature. Just in miniature, the whole cosmos. Don't fight. What is your sex in miniature? If really this is so, that your body is whole cosmos in miniature, what is sex? That which is creation in cosmos is sex in you. In the whole cosmos, creation, every moment is going on. That is sex in you. And if there is so much force in it, it is because you are needed to be a creator. If sex is so powerful, it only means for Tantra that you cannot be allowed to be non-creative. You must create. If you cannot create something, at least create life. If you cannot create anything better than you, then at least create someone who will replace you when you die. Sex is so forceful because cosmos cannot allow you to be non-creative. And you are fighting with it. Use it. There is no need to use sex only in the production. In every creation, sex is used. That's why a great poet, a great painter, may not feel so much urge of sex. But the reason is not that he is a saint. The reason is simply this, that he is creating something greater, and the need is fulfilled. A great musician is creating music. No father can feel so much fulfilled as a musician feels fulfilled when great music is created. And no son can give so much happiness to any parent as great music can give to the musician or a great poetry can give to the poet. Because he is creating on higher realms, nature relieves him of lower creation. The energy has moved higher. Tantra says, don't fight with the energy, allow the energy to move higher. And there are many realms of higher movement in many dimensions. Buddha is not a painter, neither a musician, nor a poet. But he has gone beyond sex. What has happened to him? Creation is creation of oneself. The highest creation is creation of total consciousness within. Creation of a whole within. Oneness. That is the peak, the Himalayan peak. Buddha is at that peak. He has created himself. When you move in sex, you create your body. The replica is created. When you move higher, you create a spirit. you create soul. Or if you allow me the expression, you create God. You have heard that God created the world, but I say you that you have the potentiality to create the God. And unless you create it, you will never be fulfilled. So don't think that God is in the beginning. Rather, it will be better to think God is in the end. God is not the cause of the world, but the teleology. The very end, the very peak. If you flower in your totality, you will be a god. That's why we call Buddha a god. And he never believed in God. This is very paradoxical. He never believed in God. He is one of the deepest atheistic minds ever born. Says there is no God. But we called him himself divine. Ed Jewells has written that Gautam Buddha is the most godless man and the most godlike. What has happened to this Gautama? In creation, he has given birth to the highest peak, the possibility, the ultimate has happened in him. No, he is not creating anything. There is no need. It will be futile for Buddha to write poetry. It will be futile to paint. It will be childish. He has created the ultimate. He has given himself a new birth. The old has been used completely to give birth to the new. And because it is the ultimate phenomena, the whole past has been used. The past has disappeared. The animal is no more. Because when the tree is born, the seed disappears. The seed cannot be there. Jesus says, unless a seed of corn falls to the ground and dies, nothing can happen. Once the seed falls to the ground and dies, the new life bubbles up through it. The death is only death of the seed, of the past. But there can be no death without giving birth to a birth. Something new will come out of it. Tantra says, don't try to control. Who are you to control, and how you will be able to control? Your control will be just illusory. Try to understand. Try to understand the inner nature, the phenomena, and the energies. And that understanding will automatically change. Change is not an effort. And if change is an effort, then it cannot create bliss. Bliss never happens to effort. Effort is always tension creating. It gives anguish. Effort is always ugly. Because you are forcing something. Understanding is not an effort. It is beautiful. It is a spontaneous happening. Don't control. You will be a failure. And you will destroy yourself. Understand. Let understanding be the only law. The only sadhana. And leave everything to understanding. And if understanding cannot do anything, then it cannot be done. So forget it. All that can be done through understanding. So Tantra says, accept things, because acceptance will be needed to understand them. You cannot understand anything if you deny it. A If I hate you, I cannot look into your eyes. I cannot see your face. I will turn about. I will escape from you. I will not look at you directly. When I love you, only then I can look into your eyes. When I love you deeply, only then I can see your face. Only see a face. Otherwise, you never see faces. You move. You look. But that look is just casual. Not deep. It touches, but it never penetrates. But when you love, then your whole energy becomes your eyes. Then the energy moves, touches, deep, goes deep down to the other person, meets at his center of being. Then only you can see and know. That's why in the old biblical language, they have used the word know for sex, for love, for deep love. It is not coincidental. In the Bible, it is reported that Adam knew his wife Eve, and then Cain was born. Adam knew his wife Eve, and then Cain was born. This use of know, for deep love, for sex, is strange, but very meaningful. Because when you know someone, it means you have loved someone. There is no other way to know. And it is not only with persons, it is so with energies also. If you want to know your inner being and the multidimensional phenomena of energies, love. Don't hate the animal. Love. And you are not unrelated to it. You are part of it. And the animal has pushed you to this point that you have become man. Be grateful to him. This is sheer ungratefulness. When people go on condemning animals, go on condemning the animal in man. This is sheer ingratitude. The animal has pushed you to this point that you have become man. And the animal can push you to the point where you can become God. And it is animal who is pushing you. Understand it. Its ways, how it works. And that understanding will become transformation. So no control. No effort to becoming the boss. No. Why are you so afraid of your animal? Because your mind is really important. That's why you are so afraid. Why do you want to control it? If you are really the master, the animal will follow you. But you know well that animal is the master. And I have to follow him. That's why this whole effort to become the master. You know very well that whatsoever real happens, happens through the animal. And whatsoever bogus happens, happens through the mind. This awareness creates fear. And that's why you want to try to become the master. But a master is never born out of effort. Only slaves try to become master. A master is simply a master. He is the master. I will tell you one story. It happened in the house of a great warrior. One night, suddenly he became aware of a mouse. He was a great warrior, a great swordsman. he became very much angry because the mouse was sitting just in front of him and looking into his eyes. No one had ever dared so much. The mouse was daring. So he pulled his sword. But the mouse will not run. Then he tried. He attacked the mouse. But suddenly the mouse jumped and the sword was broken in pieces. It fell on the stone on the floor. Of course, the warrior became just mad. He tried and tried, and the more he tried, the more he was defeated. It is difficult to fight with a mouse. And once you have started fighting, you have accepted defeat. And the mouse got bold. With every failure of the warrior, the mouse got bold. He simply jumped on his bed. The warrior went out and asked his friends what to do. This has never happened in my life. No one can dare so much, but it seems miraculous. I am totally defeated. So the friend said, it is nonsense to fight with a mouse. It is better to bring a cat. But the rumor went out that the warrior has been defeated, and even cats heard it. So no cat was ready to come. All the cats gathered. They elected a leader. That you go, because it is not an ordinary mouse. And the warrior has been defeated. And we are ordinary cats. And this is a great warrior, and if he is defeated, where we are? So we will wait outside and let the leader go in. The leader became afraid. Leaders are always afraid. Because they are leaders, because cowards are there. And those cowards choose them. They are leaders of the cowards. Because if there are not cowards, there will be no leaders. Basically, they are chosen by cowards. So they are leaders of cowards. The cat had to go. Had to go. Because the followers pushing. And now the leader was chosen. Nothing could be done. The cat had to go. She entered afraid, trembling, nervous. The mouse was sitting on the bed. The cat has never seen such a mouse sitting on bed. She started thinking what to do, what method to apply. And when she was thinking what to do, what method to apply, what technique, and the old experiences and memories, what to do with this? And suddenly when she was thinking, the mouse attacked. The cat ran away, because it has never happened in the past. There was no mention in history, a mouse attacking a cat. She came out, fell dead. So the warrior was asked by the neighborhood that now ordinary cats want to, you go to the palace. The king's cat, only a royal cat can do something. It is not an ordinary case. So the warrior had to go to the king and ask for the cat. The cat from the palace came. The warrior was very much afraid when the cat was coming with him, because that cat looked very ordinary. Just ordinary. And he was afraid that this is going again a failure, because the cat who has died was bigger, greater, a great leader. And this ordinary cat, it seems the king is just kidding. This cat won't do, but the warrior couldn't say anything to the king. The king said, go. He came with that ordinary cat. The cat entered killed the mouse came out. So all the cats were waiting. They gathered around and said, what is the trick? Our leader has died. The warrior has been defeated by the mouse and he simply killed him. He came with a dead mouse. The cat says, I'm a cat and he is a mouse. There is no other technique. I'm a cat. That's enough. What is the use of any technique? A cat is enough. When I entered, it was enough a cat could enter. But I am a cat. Really, this is a Zen story. Really, if your mind is the master, there is no need. The every effort is just to deceive yourself. You are not the cat and fighting with the mouse. Become a master. But how to become a master? Tantra says understanding will make you the master. Nothing else can make you a master. Understanding is the secret of all mastery. If you know well, you are the master. If you don't know, go on fighting. You will remain the slave. And the more you fight, the more you will be defeated. You are fighting with a mouse. Second question. Are there no harmful noises if we listen with the center of our body? What about the screeching city noises that have been a source of irritation to us all of our lives? Can we turn these into positive sound? This remains always a basic question. How to change something else? How to change negative sounds into positive? You cannot. If you are positive, then nothing is negative for you. If you are negative, then everything will be negative for you. You are the source of all that exists around you. You are the creator of your own world. And we are not living in one world, remember. There are as many worlds as there are minds. Each mind is living in his own world. He creates the world. So if everything looks negative, and everything looks destructive, and everything looks inimical against you, it is because you don't have the positive center in you. So don't think how to change negative noises. If you feel the negativity all around you, it simply shows you are negative within. The world is just a mirror, and you are reflected in it. I was staying in a rest house, in a village rest house. It was a very poor village, but the village was filled with many dogs, and they all gathered in the night around the rest house. It may have been their usual habit. The rest house was a good place, big trees, shadow, and they might have been resting there every night. But I was staying there, and one minister of a certain estate was staying there. The minister became very much disturbed because the dogs were barking, creating much nuisance. Half night passed and the minister couldn't sleep, so he came to me. He said, are you asleep? I was fast asleep. So he came near me, made me awake and asked me, please tell me the way how you could fall fall into his sleep amidst such nonsense all around. At least 20 to 30 dogs are there, and they are fighting and barking and doing everything that dogs are supposed to do. So what to do? I cannot sleep, and I am so tired of the whole day's journey. And if I cannot sleep, it will be difficult for me. The next day I have to go again on a tour, and I will leave early in the morning, and the sleep don't seem to come at all, and I have tried all the methods I have learned, heard, chanting mantras, praying to God, I have done everything, but nothing happens. So what to do now? So I told him, those dogs are not gathered here for you, Atul. They are not even aware that a minister is staying here. They don't read newspaper. They are completely ignorant. They are not purposefully here. They are not concerned with you. They are doing their work. Why? You are getting disturbed. Why? I should not. How? So much of barking, how can I go into sleep? So I told him, don't fight with the barking. You are fighting, that is the problem. Not the noise. The noise is not disturbing you. You are disturbing yourself because of the noise. You are against the noise. You have a condition. You say, if dogs stop barking, then I will sleep. But dogs won't listen to you. You have a condition. If the condition is fulfilled, then I can sleep. This condition is disturbing you. Except dogs. Don't make a condition that if they stop barking, then I will sleep. Just accept. Dogs are there and they are barking. Don't resist. Don't fight. Don't try to forget those noises. Accept them and listen to them. They are beautiful. And the night is so silent. And they are barking so vitally. Just listen. This will be the mantra. Right mantra. Listen to them. He said, okay, I don't believe that this will help, but nothing to do, I will try. He fell asleep. He was still barking. In the morning he said, this is miraculous. I accepted them. I withdraw my condition. I listen. Those dogs became very musical. And their barking, their noise was not disturbing, rather it became a sort of lullaby. And I fell in deep sleep because of it. It depends on your mind. If you are positive, then everything becomes positive. If you are negative, then everything turns negative. Everything turns sore. So please, remember this, not only about noises, about everything in life. If you feel that something negative exists around you, go and find out the cause within. It is you. You must be expecting something. You must be desiring something. You must be making some conditions and existence. Cannot be forced to be according to you. And it flows in its own way. If you can flow with it, you will be positive. If you fight with it, you will become negative, and then whole thing, the whole cosmos around you will turn negative. It is just like a person is trying to float upstream. Then the stream is negative. If you are floating upstream in a river, then the river is negative. And you will feel the river is fighting you. River is pushing you downwards. The river is trying to move you downstream, not upstream. The river is fighting you, and river is completely unaware of you, blissfully unaware, and it is good. Otherwise, the river will go to a madhouse. The river is not fighting with you. You are fighting with the river. You are trying to float upstream. I will tell you one anecdote. A great crowd gathered around Mulla Nasruddin's house, and they said, "What are you doing? Your wife has fallen in the stream, and the river is in flood. Go immediately. Otherwise, this thing will take your wife to the sea." And the sea was just near. So Mulla came running to the bank, jumped into the stream, and started swimming upstream to find out his wife where she is. So the crowd screamed, "What are you doing, Nasruddin? Your wife couldn't have gone upstream. She has gone downstream." So Mulla said, "Don't disturb me. I know my wife very well. If anyone else falls down in this thing, he will go downstream. My wife cannot go. She will go upstream. I know my wife well. I have lived with her 40 years. Mind is always trying to go upstream, to move upstream, fighting with everything. You create a negative world around you. Obviously, this is to happen. The world is not against you because you are not with the world. You feel it is against you. Float downstream, and then the river will help you to float. Then your energy will not be needed. The river will become a boat. It will take you. You will not lose any energy floating downstream. Because once you float downstream, you have accepted the river, the current, the flow, the direction, everything. You have become positive to it. When you are positive, the river is positive to you. You can turn everything only by turning yourself positive towards life. And we are not positive towards life. Why? Why we are not positive towards life? Why we are negative? Why this constant struggle? Why can't we have a total let go with life? What is the fear? You may not have observed. We are afraid of life. Very much afraid of life. It may sound odd to say that we are afraid of life, because ordinarily we are afraid of death, not of life. And this is an ordinary observation, that everyone is afraid of death. But I tell you, you are afraid of death only because you are afraid of life. One who is not afraid of life will not be afraid of death. Why we are afraid of life? Reasons. One, your ego catches only to upstream. Downstream, your ego cannot exist. Your ego cannot exist only at first. It says no. It says yes. Always. Yes. It cannot exist. The ego is the basic cause of saying no to everything. Look at your behavior. How the no comes immediately to the mind. And yes is very, very difficult. Because with no you exist as an ego, with yes, your identity, you become a drop in the ocean. Yes has no ego in it. That's logical to say yes. Difficult. You understand? If you are float upstream, you feel you are. If you let go and it starts floating the stream wherever it leads, you don't feel you are. You have become part of the stream. Think yourself polluted as an I. This negative around you. This ego creates the ripples of negativity. Secondly, life is unknown, unpredictable, and your mind is very narrow, and it wants to live in the known, in the predictable. Mind is always afraid of the unknown. There are reasons. Mind cuts of the moon. So I have experienced minds of that. The unknown part of the mind. It is afraid of the will determine the most for the known. It lives in room. It lives in the pattern. It moves into particular grooves. New grooves. Goes on moving just like a gramophone record. It is afraid to move in the unknown, and life is always moving into the unknown. And you are. You want life to be according to your mind, according to the known, and life can follow. It goes into the unknown. That's why we are afraid. And whenever we get any life, we try to fix it. Life is a flux. We try to fix it. The fixed action is possible. If a lot of my mind starts to make business fixes. Love is flux. Love can be rich. No, no. Will lead. Or whether it lead in no. It is floating tree. You don't know where the team is going. It may not be for the next day, the next minute. You must be certain of the next moment. But mind was certain. I physical and mind certain. Mind is against our mind is for mesh. Because marriage is a fixed thing. Now you have fixed. Now the flux is broken. Now the water is nothing, it becomes ice. Now you have something that you can predict. Only dead things are predictable. For a life, unpredictable. No one knows how life will move. So you want life. You want dead things. That's why you go on possessing things. It is deeply burden. It's easy to live things. So we go on visiting things and things. It is difficult to live different. And if we live with a person, we try to make a thing out that person. We cannot allow the person. Wife is a thing. Husband is a thing. They are not persons. Fix things. Then the husband can come out and he knows the wife will be there waiting. He knows he can fix. Feels like he can love the white ribs. If I don't think, thus cannot say no. I am not in the mood to love. Wives are not supposed to say such things. Not in the mood. They are both fixed institutions in which you can rely on the institute. You cannot rely on life. So we turn persons into things. At any relationship, in the beginning it's a relationship of I and off. And sooner or later it becomes a relationship of I and it. The doubt disappears. And then we go on. Practice. Do this. This is the duty of a wife and the duty of a husband. This. You have to do. It is a duty. It has to be done mechanically. You cannot say, I will do. Fixation is fear of life. Life is sucks. Nothing can be life. I love you, then the next moment love disappears. The moment before it's there, woman before it was there. This woman is there. This love of me has happened. I wouldn't have forced it to be there. It has happened. And that happened. An unhappy moment. Not do it. Now it may disappear. There is no certainty for the next moment. But mind wants certainty. So he turns into man. Living becomes benched. In the life, also there will be love. This is the absurdity of holding. You kill the thing, possess it. Then you can never enjoy it, because if not, it is dead. So a wife is there to be killed. The beloved has gone. And now you act that the wife should behave like the beloved. That's right. The wife cannot behave like the beloved. With wife, the wife is dead. The beloved was a happening. Wife is dead. And why is he like the beloved? Then you say, don't you love me? You mean this? But this is not the same person. This is not even the person. This is a thing. First you kill it, you want a life out of it. Then hold it. We are afraid of life. Life is flux. Mind one. If you want really to be alive, be ready to be it off. There is security. And as long as you are secure, there is only one way to live. You will be secure. So those who are dead are absolutely secure. A live person is insecure. Insecurity is the very central core of life. But mind wants security. Thirdly, because in our existence, there is a symbolicity. Against else do it. And mind wants to choose one part and deny the other. So simply you want to be happy. You want pleasure. You don't want pain. But pain is not pleasure. The other is not. Pain is one side is pleasure and another side is pain. You want pleasure, but you know that the more you want pleasure, the more pain will follow. And the more you become sense pleasure, the more you sense to pain. So a person who wants pleasure, so he accepts pain. This is just like valleys. Hills. Wants valleys. So where the valleys will go. And beyond the valley, how can there be peaks? Because there is no peaks. If you love peaks, love very also. The beginning of the destiny. Mind one thing, and then the other is bad. If it's good, death is bad. But if part of it is weak part, life cannot exist without death. Life because of death. If it disappears, it will disappear. One says, I want only life, I don't want death. Then mind moves in a world which is there, and it's asking with everything. Because in life, everything is related to the opposite. To the opposite, if it is a person who understands that life is like except both. He accepts death not as a life, but as light, the valid. He accepts night as the valid part of the day. For one moment you feel blissful, next moment you're dead. You don't want to accept the next moment, that is really part. And as the peak of bliss, the deeper we dwell. Because deeper the lead is high, so high move, the lead will be falling. And this is just like this. Rising high, then there is a valley part. Understanding means being a fact. Not only being aware, a deep acceptance of the fact, because not move out of the fact. You can create a fiction, and we have created fiction simply. So we have made hell somewhere deep down, and heaven somewhere up. We have created absolute vision between. Which is nonsense, because the valley part of heaven, it exists with heaven, it does not exist apart. This understanding will help you to be positive. And then by positive I mean you accept everything, because you know that you cannot divide existence. And I take a breath in, and immediately I have to throw it out. I inhale and then exhale. If I only inhale and not exhale, I will die. If I only exhale and will not inhale, than a guy, because inhaling and exhaling are part of one process, essence. And I can inhale only because I exhale. And both are together, and they cannot be divided. This is what a man is. If this thing comes to me, I call liberated agent who accepts the reality of agent, then he is positive. Then whatsoever happens is accepted. Then he has no expectation. Then he makes no demands on existence. Then he can flow down. For today.